Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Jim Ballard is here, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. I know you're excited about that. Jim Ballard is back on the show. In fact, it's his 15th anniversary as a member of our Brain Trust, and he is so excited about that. And Jim is the author of I don't know how many books, dozens of books, including What's the Rush, including the Well Done series of books that he's co-authored with others, including the book that his beautiful wife Barbara wrote that we've talked about on the show, No Ordinary Move, and one of my favorites, Little Wave and Old Swell. Jim Ballard, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. We've got to come up with something special today, I think.
I know.
Sounds like.
15
we
years,
have.
Jim.
We're gonna.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you. And I want to congratulate you on the success of your book. And as you've just been telling me, you've been traveling around a lot and signing a lot of books. And that's the way to do it.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, it's all about small business, Jim. It's all about helping small business owners have the maximum opportunity to be successful, and that's my singular professional goal in life is to do more of that. And I appreciate you being here for 15 years, helping me do that, just that, and blessing the lives of small businesses as you have helped us do. One of the things that I know you want to talk about is what is the real business of business. Tell us about that.
Well, it's so easy, I think, Jim, for you think of all the people who are, you know, stuck in traffic every morning on their commute, and their minds are just on, you've been there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Keeping your
yesterday.
Car from bumping into the car in front of you when you're just moving inches at a time, it's hard to imagine that a year from now you'll be looking back on today and saying, wow, how could I have known how great that day was going to turn out?
Right, right.
And in fact, it might be easier to think, is this how it all turns out? Is this what I was going to be when I grew up? And I remember what Carl Jung, a phrase that he said. He says, I am not what happens to me. I am what I choose to become. So I want to say, how do we do that? How do we do that on these, when we're fighting the dailiness, what somebody called the dailiness of life? Mm-hmm. And it's really all in the eye of the beholder. You know, perception is the only game in town. And it isn't that something different needs to happen. It's that we need to remember what business is really about. It's not about business.
Well, you know, one thing, thinking about your traffic example, you know, there was a time when, I mean, I've never been a patient person in traffic. nobody will be surprised to hear that. But there was a time when it didn't matter whether I had to be somewhere or not. I didn't like getting stuck in traffic. But as I've gotten older, if I get stuck in traffic, now I say, oh, okay, do I have to be anywhere? And if I don't have to be anywhere, I just kind of relax and turn the radio up.
Good. Well, you know, I've often said, too, I'm writing a book called Rushaholics Anonymous.
Right.
And I think that when you get stuck in traffic, there might be a slowdown angel behind it, you know, just to get your heart slowed down.
Right. Slowdown angel. I like that. Write that down, folks. That's going to be on the test.
when you get stuck, you can say thank you. Anyway, what do I mean when I say business isn't about business? Well, one thing it's about is service. Now, every business is already about service. That is, it exists to provide some service or product that makes people's lives better or easier. But how does service operate within the workplace, within people, between people? You know, our relationships are really with the people you rub elbows with every day. And there are two ways to approach work with people. One is with the attitude, what do I get? And the other says, what do I give? Now, you mentioned my wife, Barbara. She has a, she has a wonderful business. She's been at it soon be 18 years, I think. And she's relocating seniors, helping older people and their families move. Barbara has great joy in her business even after all this time, and even though she's still at that, and it's hard work, because of her values, because of the way she treats people, and people talk about it. She is she has a doctorate in psychology. She's not just about moving stuff or people. She's about, you know, opening the door for people to the to a whole new part of their life.
Helping human beings.
That's it.
She's helping human beings.
So what do we say to ourselves when we go into work, since our jobs are really about relationships? You know, when we sometimes you hear, you're watching a basketball game, and the commentator says, you know, this guy is known for his unselfishness. You know, he's always feeding the ball rather than shooting. And people who do that at their work stick out, whether they manage other people or whether they're on the team. They make the people look good. So am I basically a giver or a getter? Do I talk at people or do I listen? Do I try always to get my way or do I let others share the limelight? Am I about bringing out the best? So what we call job satisfaction is about the way relationships are handled, and that's the service part of it. Another thing is about just about happiness, Jim. There's no one listening who isn't trying to be happy, because that's what we're all striving for in life. And how do we bring get happiness on the job? Maybe we're not looking for it in the right place. Happiness doesn't come through money. That's an old one, but wealthy people have some of the highest rates of suicide.
That's right. You can't be happy with money and stuff if you... You can't be happy with money and stuff if you can't be happy without money and stuff.
See, you got it. And maybe it's about attention. You know, we want love or accumulating stuff, like you said. And that's the place, if we're after that, that life it feels like it hasn't turned out for us yet. And are we still waiting to be happy, or are we looking for happiness outside of our jobs?
I think some of us expect the world to make us happy, and we sit around waiting on that, and we get angry sometimes. I think if the world doesn't deliver that happiness, and that's not how it works. We're going to talk to Jim Ballard some more after these messages. Stay with us. 20 after.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.